Hello and welcome to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And I want you to know, if you're stuck out there in a rut, if your career just isn't hitting stride, or you're trying to get to that next level, just keep listening because we're going to break you out of that rut. We're going to look at what it takes to reach real success, to deal with those difficult business problems, to deal with that difficult boss, or perhaps get that dream job. And the best part about the show is it's interactive. So you can send us an SMS at 4001, or you can go to our website, DubaiEye1038.com, and download our mobile app to interact with us directly. Again, to send in a question about your career, about what's happening, send us an SMS to 4001. We've got two great guests for you lined up tonight. Our first gentleman has made it in the stormy waters of media, one of the toughest business sectors to make it in. His name is Neil Wood. He is the publishing director for ITP Executive. And our second guest, a banker turned entrepreneur, Nigel Sillitoe, the chief executive officer and founder of Insight Discovery. These are two really exciting stories. You have one navigating corporate structure, getting yourself into one of those plum jobs with the corner office. We'll be looking at how to do that. And then for those with more of an adventurous streak, we have looking at taking the entrepreneurial road, starting your own shop, what it takes, and how much you will suffer on that path, I can assure you. But before we get moving, I just want to thank the ICAEW, the Institute of Chartered Accountants of England and Wales, who are our sponsors and allow us to bring you these stories. They're truly a brand that's dedicated to helping you be more successful in your career. I can guarantee you becoming a chartered accountant will definitely not be a step backward. You know, I think one of our guests said, have you ever seen a poor accountant? I actually haven't. So good thing to look into. That's the ICAEW. But let's find out a little bit more about our first guest. And one more thing before we do that. This is the contest show. So we're going to have a whole bunch of contests. The first one was if you could recognize the song that I opened the show to. The song that we just opened the show to, SMS is at 4001. But let's hear a little bit more about Neil Wood, what he has done, what he is doing.
Neil Wood is the publishing director of ITP Publishing Group in Media City. He started in media with EMAP, a British media company. It became the second largest media business in the UK. He became their publishing director for the launch of a title called Money Week, the company's largest launch at the time. Neil later transferred to exhibition director for technology shows, including taking the Apple Expo show to grow it into the largest show of its kind in Europe. He also ran a division of EMAP Exhibitions. He moved to UBM, a multinational media company headquartered in London. He became their managing director of the UK. Neil also worked as VP Global for DMG Media, running the Energy Group in London, Calgary, Abu Dhabi and Delhi, including ADIPEC and 15 other shows globally. He moved to Dubai in 2007 and ran an events business with publishing operations. He launched his own business in 2008 and exited in 2013. Neil joined ITP to run the ITP Executive Portfolio of Arabian Business, CEO and startup with 17 events and a digital presence with 1.6 million unique users per month for ArabianBusiness.com. On a personal level, Neil loves golf and driving large cars.
Well, Neil, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
It's a pleasure to have you out here. So you're a real showman in a way.
Well, I've been around exhibitions and publishing for a while, yeah.
You've done one or two of them.
Yeah, it could be said.
So the big question is, you know, tomorrow is the release of Apple, the Apple Watch, this infamous watch. And the question is to buy or not to buy. And, you know, will you be picking one up?
I will probably be picking one up, but I won't be picking one up tomorrow. I like Apple. I am a bit of an Apple guy, but I tend to be not the early adopter. I'm the one who's a few months down the line.
Are you like one of those people who like crowd around people who don't have Apple and try to convert them and stuff like that?
I ran a show called Apple Expo for 5 years. I did that exactly that, yeah.
So you are like the king of the Apple converters.
Well, I wish I had stocks to do it. But
you're like an Apple missionary.
Very possibly.
Thankfully, I have an Apple phone, so I'm, you know, not fully converted, but enough to stave off the missionaries. That seems to satiate their appetites, like he's got some Apple product. But you are going to buy the watch.
I guess eventually.
I'm not. Who wears a watch anymore? Does anyone wear a watch? People don't wear watches anymore. So 2008.
Well, you know, I kind of grew up at a time when people do wear watches. So,
you have it? Are you wearing a watch right now?
I am. I'm wearing a nice tag watch, actually. Oh, okay. It was a birthday present last year.
I'm watchless, you know. I'm unshackled by time.
Yeah, you got watches all around the clocks all around the wall here.
Yeah, clocks don't count, though. Those are different. But why don't you tell us, I mean, a lot of people dream of being in media. You know, you're the publishing director at this point.
Yeah.
It's a sexy job. You know, the events look like fun. You get to mix with the who's who. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how your career started and what are some of the key kind of skill sets that you picked up along the way to get a plum job like this?
Okay, well, I would suspect that I am like most people who are in the media, which is I never planned to be in the media. I don't think there's a particular career path that says I am going to leave school, go to university, and head off into the media. It just doesn't seem to happen for most people like that. I guess there's an element of some people who will go into the journalism route and will therefore naturally move into the media. But for most people, and I come from a kind of commercial background, I fell into it like a lot of people. I kind of picked up the phone and I spoke to some people and they suggested I might want to come and work on some magazines, and I went and did exactly that. And I started out selling advertising space back in the day when really there was just advertising space. There weren't too many events around. I'm old enough to realize there was no digital content back in those days. It was magazines and newspapers. And I kind of hugely enjoyed it.
You started selling advertising like Rupert Murdoch. That was how he started.
Again, I wish I had shares, but sadly not. Yeah, exactly that. I started out selling advertising for a company based in the UK who became known eventually as EMAP. There will be people over here who work in an organization called Mead who will know that organization because they own them. And they were in, at that stage, a lot of kind of local newspapers and magazines. And I started out in technology magazines and gaming magazines selling advertising space. And then kind of a couple of years in, became a publisher for a magazine, which then got me more involved in the kind of commercial aspects of running a magazine and it as a small business. But for a large organization, and then just kind of it kind of grew from there. Really, I suppose that organization is part of the DNA for me. It's it was an organization that grew fast, highly professional, public company, gave its employees the opportunities to take risk, didn't mind so much actually when they failed a little bit. That meant you were trying quite hard, but did mind if you failed at the same time every time. So you tried and endeavored desperately not to fail at those same corners, if you like. So it kind of moved on from there.
Do you think that's, you know, good advice for someone who wants to start out in media? Start with the advertising piece, or where's the money coming in? You know, no finance, no romance. This is a good starting point.
Again, it depends, I think, on your background. If you've got, let's say, a degree in some kind of literature or kind of journalism, obviously you'll want to go into through that route. Other routes these days, of course, content is kind of king. So you really want to be able to get in through that route. But certainly the commercial background is a really interesting way into the media, because you've got to understand how a business runs. I mean, it may be that you are running a magazine or working on a magazine that's one of a very few number, or one of a very large number in a number of publishing companies, but you've got to know how to run that operation. And so it's about when you bring the revenues in and what you're going to cost and such like.
It looks like we have a winner for the first contest. Hello, is this Mustafa?
Yes.
Hey,
Mustafa
thanks,
speaking.
Thanks for listening to Eye on Careers, Mustafa.
Hi, and I'm a big fan. Thank you very much.
Oh, excellent. So did you had a guess on what the song was? Wait, before you answer it there, let's see if I can get it going here.
Yeah. It's Magnum P.I.
All right. You're the big winner. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You have a career question before we let you go?
Actually, I just want to ask, I mean, what is the one thing that people looking to go into media should focus on? If you could just point to one thing, that one skill that people should develop.
Okay, let's do that. But I'm going to let you go so because we don't get the feedback from the phone, but we're going to answer that question for you.
And okay, thank you very much.
Thanks again, Mustafa, for calling in.
Cheers, Shane. Thank you.
Bye now. So what's the one skill that someone should have besides memorizing this song?
Besides having a moustache and a Ferrari. Yeah.
That's it, the moustache. And the short shorts and the long socks up to your knees.
Exactly. which is why I'm sitting here today wearing exactly that. Yeah. I guess, you know what, like any business, actually, it's the ability to listen, I think. If you can listen to what people are telling you, then you can start to react to what they're telling you and start to provide something that they're looking for. That is true of editorial content as it is for talking to people about their commercial marketing opportunities. So it's the ability to listen. I find that too many people try and tell you they're selling to you, but they're not. They're just talking at you. They're telling you things that you don't necessarily need to know. What you need to know is, well, what is it that you're going to talk to me about?
Right, listening. And I think we should just listen to this right now. This is the next contest. Does anyone know?
I know, Shane.
Does anyone know what this song is? Coming up, we're going to find out really what makes Neil's business tick and really get some insights on how we can use media to drive our own business, to drive our own careers. How can you use what Neil does to make yourself more money? Coming up in just a minute.
This is Eye on Careers, keeping an eye on your career.
Welcome back to Eye on Careers. We're here with Neil Wood and the mysterious song in the background. Neil Wood is the publishing director for ITP Executive. Neil, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you.
So for anyone just joining us, we're looking at what it takes to get into the media business. And the first thing is have no plan. The first thing you
That's
did.
That's it in one.
And then see what happens. But it's more of kind of a je ne sais quoi type of thing.
I think, you know, media is good for people with a natural curiosity. I think that's certainly true. If you're kind of curious about life, media is a good thing to be in.
Right. So is media mimicking life or life's mimicking media?
Well, that's a very deep question for this time of night, Shane.
I know. It was just like out of nowhere. It's going to be a buzzkill, man. We better get away from that. But if anybody could, who knows what this song is, SMS at 4001. You will win a free executive coaching. If nobody knows what the song is, you go hungry. Then tell us who's famous. There's a famous person who was born today, one of the most famous people in the world, extremely famous. If you can tell us who that is, their name starts with S. It's not me.
and it's not Shakira.
It's not Shakira. I wish it was, but it's not Shakira. But
it could be.
It could be, but no.
But it's not.
It's not. Okay, so Neil, tell us a bit more about your business. You know, like what really makes it work? You know, why some people go out of business and other people, you know, become hugely successful, become iconic, prolific businessmen in the media business. You know, some people are just so huge. In fact, the first African-American billionaire in the United States of America, Bill Johnson, was the founder of BET. You know, and so that was a African-American channel. Soul Train, their famous show. Mm-hmm. So, as I said, some people become, you know, famous and fame and fortune, and other people die penniless and broke all alone. What is it? What is it that separates those two?
Well, look, as far as I can, I don't know about the penniless and broken all alone. I don't know about the multi-billionaire status. I'm kind of somewhere in the middle, I guess. But I think that the key thing in media, for me, for our end of the media, is about content. I mean, there are a plethora of magazines and digital content out there where they just write about stuff that people want to write about. that the, i.e. the advertisers or the marketers want to write about, but they don't have readers. So it's just a kind of a, an interesting way for people to get some money out of some advertisers. Now, our view is very different from that, and has been for 25 years very different from that. Our view is it's all about the content, and if you provide extremely good, valuable content, then you get readers. If you get readers, then you get people who the marketers want to attract and get towards, and that's the kind of, that's the circle you're looking for. Now, we publish Arabian Business, amongst other titles, and Arabian Business has for 15 years achieved exactly that, I think. We've had some extremely positive interviews. We do very well with the kind of people that we're able to connect with, and we build that connection. We build it into networks. We build it online. We build it through print. We build it through our live events, and therefore we start to attract those marketers who want to get to those readerships. And I think, you know, that sounds really simple. It's a very difficult thing to achieve, and we have to employ the kind of experience and experts who are able to do that. So we have in our editorial teams, which is where everything is driven from, an extremely good set of editorial people, both English and Arabic, who provide that on a weekly basis in the print and on a 24/7 basis online, digitally. And that's why we've got 1.6 million unique users on ArabianBusiness.com, and of all of our readers over the years on Arabian Business and our other titles.
And isn't it tough to find journalists, though, who are in business media? Because, you know, for example, one of your magazines, CEO Magazine, you know, someone's going to be writing that magazine. They're obviously not a CEO. So, you know, the amount of journalists that are in the business genre, isn't it not significantly less? And, you know, it's almost like, you know, you need an MBA, or you need to understand P&Ls. You need to, you know, be waking up and reading the Financial Times and, you know, really getting into stock movements, Eurozone, China, BRICS, NASDAQ, Dow Jones, 86%.
Are you reading from the list there, Shane?
That's, that was business talk.
Excellent.
Well, business talk.
And thank you for that. I think journalism is, from my experience of dealing with the people that we deal with in journalism, has got some extremely bright people in. I don't think you necessarily need to run a business in order to ask questions of that business. So we have some very bright journalists on board, as I said, from all sorts of nationalities. They have, I think, the ability to get to the question that the people who are answering the question don't necessarily want them to ask. And I think that's the value of a really good journalist. And then take that and put it into a feature and analysis piece and a news piece. You know, that's why, I guess, in the middle sit some PR people as well, because their job is to try and join the two together. And that's why there's that kind of perennial potential problem between the journalists and the PRs, and the end result is that the CEOs want to be able to get their message across, and the journalists want to be able to question them in a little bit more detail about what that message is.
I think we have someone who thinks they know what the famous birthday is. Hello? Is this Francis?
Hello. That's right.
Hi, thanks so much for listening.
Not at all.
So you have an idea of who the famous person is?
Is he 399?
That's correct. He is 399 years old today.
And he looks every...
And he's Shakespeare.
That's correct. That's a great, good guess. Are you a fan?
I am a fan, but I also work for the British Council. And so today marks the countdown to his 400th birthday next year. So we'll be running a program all year to show how Shakespeare is still relevant today. As relevant today as he was 400 years ago.
Mm, yes. Well, excellent. Well, that's so you're more than a fan. You're almost an ambassador.
Exactly.
Of the birthday. Well, that's great. Did you have any question, career question, before we move on?
I suppose I working in marketing myself, I suppose it is. I agree entirely with what was said, which was about how you just fall into careers and without having a plan.
And that's the best plan for media.
Yes, I think so. Naturally attracted, and somehow that's where you end up.
Just let it happen. Well,
yeah.
Thank you so much, Francis. So we'll get back to you with your prize. You get a 1-hour free executive coaching session.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So this is it. It's the plan of no plan. Plan not to plan. But then are you planning? But don't plan. But your plan is not to plan.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
Exactly. Quite. That was my homage to Shakespeare just now. That was a bit of a homage for you. You know what? When you said, though, I think a good journalist asks a question that the subject doesn't want them mm-hmm. to ask. I mean, is that necessarily true? I mean, is that?
I think it's
isn't
part
that a bit hostile? I mean, don't you think, like, some of the journalists, for example, if you look in the UK, they've just gone to the extreme where it's like they're just trying to lambaste anybody they can to the point where they lose their own credibility. Where you're reading these journalists and you're like, they're just out to go after this PM or that politic or that one, and it's just lost it. They've taken the freedom of speech too far. They've perverted it.
I think there's a huge scope for journalism, like there is in many things in life. And I think the point about really good journalism is it doesn't go to either end of those spectrum. I think, you know, that's why it's called the fourth estate. It's an ability for the media to hold account people, politicians, individuals, companies for question. In some areas, we're, however, in the business journalism field, so it's hardly like we're going to be trying to get to people, make people feel very uncomfortable who are CEOs. We just want to hear what the story is, and you know, there'll be a couple of questions that come out of that.
Right. But at the end of the day, when you look at creating content. Mm. This is, in fact, what you need to be doing, whether you're a public, in the 21st century, in my humble opinion, whether you're a business or an executive, you need to be thinking like a publisher. You need to be creating content.
Correct.
About what you do.
Correct. And if you look to some of the publishing models in other countries, some of the best read product are actually not produced by traditional media publishers anymore. They are produced by companies who have a wide access to information, and they will be providing valuable content for all sorts of people. And the marketing therefore becomes a lot more subtle, because it's not, I'm going to talk to you about widgets and here's my magazine about widgets. It's actually a lot more sophisticated than that. And I think this market here is growing ever more sophisticated, and it's a relationship we have to build between the marketer, the media house, and the agencies. Of course, they need to be involved as well. And the readers. But fundamentally, everything revolves around the reader. We need to understand what the reader requires, what the kind of information the reader has a requirement for, in order to help them run their business. And that's then what we can go off and provide. And that's what Arabian Business and CEO and Startup Magazine aims to do, and ITP generally across our 85 titles and all of our digital content.
And is it about the reader, or is it about now creating online communities? You know, how important is that online piece? Is it going to knock out the print companies, or is it going to complement the print companies? Is there a piece of it that says, you know, we want an online of the widget makers, you know, we're going to create a thought forum.
I think I might have opened up a conversation about widgets that we didn't want to
the
open up.
The widget cloud.
But, obviously digital content is massively important. But again, you come back to the reader, and therefore the reader needs the filter. The filter is the journalist. The filter is the editorial people. They are the filters that need to be in place. There are a billion bloggers out there. Everybody's talking about everything, but how relevant are they to the community that they're looking to talk to? And the vast majority are not really that relevant at all. They're just opinion formers who I have an opinion, I write a blog, and so what? The key to it is having a filter, and the filter is the journalist and the editorial teams who are able, through their training, to be able to filter that into a proper place. Whether that's in print, whether that's in digital, whether that's a live event at a conference, at an exhibition, however that is. And that's then going to attract the readers more and more, because they will know that by going to that place, they can find relevant content to them.
The last bastion of professionals safeguarding our art, our culture, our ethos. Is this now actually eroding the fabric of society itself, where it's prime time and the audience is running the show, that people now are critiquing art? When we used to hear an art critique or a movie critique or whatever, it was from a professional who had a background, who understood what they're talking about. Today, now we're getting those critiques from the layman, from the pedestrian masses, are taking control of the media itself? Is this a threat to our society? Is this a threat to our culture? Neil is going to answer this question in just a minute when we come back.
This is Eye on Careers, keeping an eye on your career.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we're listening to Neil Wood, the publishing director for ITP Executive. Neil, welcome back.
Thanks, Shane.
A real media mogul here who is giving us some insight to the role media plays. For those just joining us, Neil has claimed media as the fourth estate of society, and that the role the editors play in helping corral us along the lines of art and culture and business, helping cement various paradigms of thought within us. Is this now at risk in the digital century, where you no longer have to have a degree in journalism or have any kind of qualification at all, that you can just open up a blog and start creating a critique or creating a narrative about any subject you want? And in fact, when this is done by the pedestrian masses, some feel that this is actually eroding culture itself. It's prime time and the audience is running the show. Neil, is this going to be an issue for us?
No, I think I think ultimately, as always, successful people will out. Therefore, you know, the people who are doing it very well, who have something relevant to say, will get heard. And I think they will go through the fairly traditional model after that of launching businesses off the back of it. I think what I'm saying is that there are millions and millions and millions of people out there who every day comment on millions and millions and millions of different things. But it's very difficult to sustain that and get a meaningful audience. And that's where I think you know, the journalism comes in, and I think that's where the kind of media companies that we are come in, because we can invest in that and we can make that happen. And by the way, I'm not the one who came up with the phrase the fourth estate. I believe it's something around the 18th century they came up with that particular phrase, but and I'm not that old, so I didn't come up with that one.
You're not 399 years old.
No.
But I'm glad there's going to be a massive Shakespeare party, which is what Francis was sharing with
about,
us.
And we're all invited, about.
Yeah, we can all dress. We can all wear dresses and say our favorite poems. So, or not, you know, whatever you're into. But so you think it's a good thing that you no longer need qualification. Your qualification is, are people listening to you?
Yeah, I think so. And you mentioned in the break the YouTube, the example of YouTube. Now, there are many artists now who are getting an extremely interesting break on YouTube. And that, and there's
Gangnam Styles, is the number one. Trillion.
That is one
of
them.
It's the same six people watching this video over and over again.
Here's the thing. You've got to follow that up. You have to follow that up. So if you've got the creative talent, you can do that. If you haven't, it's a one-hit wonder. And you know, but we're not in the business.
What are you saying about Gangnam Style?
I'm saying it's a one-hit wonder.
But...
You know, we in our end of the media field are not into one-hit wonders. So we have to create that consistent content.
So you have to be consistent, but you can also capitalize on that in different ways. What's the biggest challenge, you know, you've ever faced in your career, in your climb to the top here? What has been the biggest challenge you've ever faced? What was your darkest moment?
Well, you know, I wouldn't say I've climbed to the top. I've probably had more of a meteoric rise to the middle. But I think the biggest challenge I've had is a few years ago, I left a fairly large publishing and media and exhibitions house and set up my own business. And I think that was one of the biggest challenges I've ever had. And I've done it twice now. So it's a massive difference. I've been lucky enough. I've been on both sides of the fence. I've worked in large organizations with all the structures in place, and I've been the person who buys the milk in the morning, puts the cat out at night, and does everything in between. And you know, it's a really tough gig to do that kind of thing. But it's also extremely extremely exciting prospect as well, to get up in the morning and think, what's the day going to bring? What do I need to do? You're living a bit on the edge.
Right, so you're waking up a blank slate, no one to tell you what to do, no one to watch over you. Is that a bit daunting?
It can be.
A bit of anxiety?
It can be. Sometimes it can be very daunting, sometimes it can be the most exciting thing in the world, and as you're driving around thinking, I am making these decisions. And equally, you can be driving around thinking, oh dear, I'm making these decisions. So you learn very quickly the kind of person that you are when you're trying to run your own operation.
And I think, what would you say the biggest skill is? I think one of the top skills when I look at individuals who've been successful at this is time management. You know, you have to do sales, you have to do marketing, you have to do sales service delivery, you have to do HR, you know, you have to find good people, you know, before you can hire them, you have to find them. So, you know, you're wearing 700 hats. Not all of them fit properly as well. So that's also another challenge. But you really have to manage your time. You know, isn't that one of the biggest, most important things?
It absolutely is. I would say out of all of those things, by the way, you mentioned all those kind of challenges that you have, and I agree with every single one of those, but the biggest challenge I think you have is the finance. You know, it's knowing that you've got to get the finance rolling somehow. And at the beginning, that's about maybe going out there and trying to find the finance. And, you know, that's a really tough gig as well. You've got to, I found that was extremely tough. I could walk into a somewhere where in a previous position I was known because of the company, the large company I was part of. You walk in the next day, you're in part of your own company and you're saying, I've got this great idea. And people who know you very well say, I think it's a great idea, but you're not part of a large company. So you face that kind of constant issue, and then you go and try to go to the banks, you go to the lending
they're
institutions,
not
and
they're
yeah,
not
unfortunately, they're pretty risk averse.
But they get up there like, we're going to support the SME, and then you find out by SME they mean those guys who are like making $50 million a year, and really you're like, what? That's small. What am I? I'm microscopic. I think we have a question here. Hello.
Hi. How are you? My name is Yasmin Krace.
Hi, Yasmin. How are you tonight?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Thanks for watching or listening to Eye on Careers.
Yeah, it's been great watching it.
Yeah, yeah. Neil's looking good. He's got his Magnum PI shorts on and his mustache going.
So. Sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's a Magnum.
How can a listener resist?
It's a Magnum PI theme tonight, and except we're missing the Ferrari, unfortunately. So you had a question.
Yes, I did. So, actually, it was very interesting what you were just saying now almost ties into my question, which is about, you know, whether you're opening a new company or whether you're working within a large or small organization, how do you identify who the influencers are in a company or people that you meet who can influence and who can help you make change happen? Because you can it's very easy to identify things, and it's very easy to be able to say, well, they're doing it wrong, I can do it better, or to say that, you know, I've got all this knowledge, but how to apply it. And I think, you know, being able to figure out who the right person to speak to is and how to get them to do what you want them to do would help.
So is this as the CEO looking at a team, how do you identify who your influencers are, or as a team member, wag the dog type of thing, how do you identify who the influencers are who can help you get people to rally around your ideas or the ideas as you see them fit? Are you saying as from an employee perspective or as from the
Well, I've worked on both sides. So I've run a business. I've run the family business, and I've also I also work in a large organization. So it's two very, very different monsters.
So you want us to answer the question from both sides? There's no way out here. Is that what you're saying? Giving us double jeopardy. Is that it? No worries. We can
do
both.
What would benefit me directly would be the, from the underdog side.
The underdog. You want to wag the dog. Okay. Excellent. We will answer your question, but I'll just let you go before we do that so we don't have the feedback from the from the phone on the radio.
Great.
Thank you so much, Yasmin, for calling in.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, bye. So identifying change agents, it's really important. I would say joining a new organization is one of the biggest mistake, in fact, C-suite executives make when they join a new organization the first 100 days is trying to change things without understanding exactly what Yasmin was asking, is understanding who are the influencers in the organization, what are the critical relationships, what are the formal relationships, and what are the informal relationships. And when you look at formal, sometimes they're very explicit. You know, for example, in a German automotive business versus an American automotive business. In a German automotive, generally, you're going to see power within the engineering sphere. You're going to see a lot of people generally in the C-suite, top management jobs will be engineers. In an American environment, you generally will see finance having a much stronger play. A lot of the top individuals coming through, being chartered accountants, being CFAs, coming through finance, coming through the MBA function. In fact, the first CEO of Ford Motor Company who was a non-Ford member was Robert McNamara, who came through finance. He was a Harvard MBA and spoke the language of Wall Street. Of course, these are publicly traded companies, and this quarterly earnings are really important. So when you join an organization, you have to ask yourself, am I a finance guy? Am I an engineering guy? Am I a media creative guy? Who's at the top? And in a company like Saatchi & Saatchi, you're going to have the creative juices flowing. But again, you saw Sir Martin Sorrell was the one who took the company from $5 a share to $500 a share and went on to form WPP. So if you're joining WPP, probably if you're coming from finance, you're going to really have that power. So first of all, identifying which department has the power. If it's a bank and the CEO of the bank is a private banker, the private banking team's probably going to have a little advantage in the boardroom in terms of how weighted those discussions are. So that would be my first piece. I don't know, Neil, if you wanted to touch this or not.
I agree with you. I think the first 100 days, it's very easy to go in and say, here's what I am going to do. But how can you do that if you don't actually know what's required and who's around and who's doing what and whose toes you're treading on and actually what the whole strategy of the business is going to be? You know, you've got to go in and understand it before you go and start to try and make the changes.
Absolutely. Well, coming up, we're going to find out what Neil looks for when he's hiring for his media team. What are those traits? And how can you get through? If you're going to go for an interview, what are the things you got to do to get past this guy, especially if he's wearing his Magnum PI shorts? So we're going to tackle that in just a minute. So stay with us.
This is Eye on Careers, keeping an eye on your career.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we're listening to Neil Wood, the publishing director for ITP Executive. Neil, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Hi, Shane.
So for those of you joining, we have covered the role of media in society and the influence that the digital medium, the blogger factor, the voice of the pedestrian masses will have on not just media, but our culture as well. Neil has shed light and insight onto that for us. If you missed it, you can catch it on our website on DubaiEye1038.com/IonCareers and go to the podcast section. I do know the website, so you can go there. The best part is the show's interactive. So if you have a question, you can SMS us at 4001. We just gave you a few ideas on how to wag the dog. So you can also look that up. But now, Neil, a lot of people want jobs in media. You hold the key to some of those jobs. You know, are you guys actually hiring right now?
Yeah, we're hiring. All the time. Yeah.
What, like, how many people do you need to hire? 10?
We got more than 500 people in the business.
Whoa.
And I would say that typically we're probably looking across the sales spectrum mostly, because we probably need a good number of people on the sales side, less so on the journalism side. People in journalism tend to stay longer, and in the kind of support services like circulation, readership, marketing and such like. Finance, they tend to be less of a turnover, but sales is definitely something that I think we all across the media are kind of struggle with, the kind of customer facing. It's not just the media houses; it's also the agencies. It's the client side as well.
So, media sales is a good way to get your foot in the door.
It can be, yeah.
So, what do you look for when you're hiring? I mean, what are the key traits?
Well, aside from the obvious ideal candidate, which you would have media experience, media sales experience, I guess the key thing that I'm looking for when I'm interviewing people is the ability for people to listen and not just kind of talk at people. The key thing, I think, with media sales, if you're getting into media sales, is the ability to listen to what a customer is trying to tell you, and that may be hidden between the lines, what they're trying to tell you. Question them in the best possible way, which I'm afraid I'm a bit old-fashioned about that. That's the kind of the usual 7 open-ended questions, as opposed to tell people, ask them questions, hear what they've got to say, And I think sales is more of a kind of structured conversation. We know where we'd like to get to at the end of that. And if we can get there, that would be great by guiding people along that route. And absolutely crucial to me is the right attitude. I can work with anyone. We can work with anyone who's got the right attitude. It's the people who kind of come in full of bravado, telling you exactly what they're going to do and how they're going to do it and how often they're going to do it and how quickly they're going to do it, that are not the people who tend to work.
Yeah, that didn't sound good at all. So listen more. Is it okay to take notes in an interview? Like some people take listening that level, so they're actually writing down what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because some people feel they shouldn't take a notepad in, but I always tell them, take a notepad, take notes, and even if you have your own questions written down, stuff that you don't want to forget.
Well, absolutely. I don't think anybody's going to be the kind of IQ level of Stephen Hawking, to be honest with you, to remember absolutely everything in an interview. So you're going to want to write things down. And often, of course, we're going to ask people to come back for a second or third interview. And I want people to have taken notes so that they know they've been listening, and then they can come back and answer some of those points.
But I think Stephen Hawking cheated because he started talking about something that no one's ever seen and no one even knows about. Like I'm gonna solve the mystery of black holes. Like how can anybody know what whether he's really that smart or not?
It was a brilliant marketing opportunity to sell lots of books that everybody has on a shelf and nobody's got beyond page 10.
I'm gonna write a theory about a far off galaxy that no one's ever been to.
I think that's called Star Trek.
Oh, damn. They stole my idea. So listening is number one. Attitude is the other one. What about being informed? I mean, the simple things that people just don't do is, they don't know ITP, they don't know which brands you have.
Yeah, I would certainly expect for people to do their background research before they come in. But we kind of get through that people tend to come in because we're talking to them on the phone before we're inviting lots of people in. But I'll give you an example. I mean, we just put an ad about 8 weeks ago onto LinkedIn for salespeople and across the group. And we had, I believe, the final figure was 1,236 responses through LinkedIn. Now, myself, some of my colleagues, and dear old HR had to kind of go through all of those. And I can tell you that probably out of that 1,200, about 1,100 hadn't even thought about what the ad actually said. They were accountants and engineers and administrators. Well, there was, funnily enough, a hypnotist right in there. She got the job, obviously. But there were all these people who just didn't, they're just kind of throwing out the CVs. What's the point? That just proves to me you're not even reading the ad. So those are certainly not the kind of people we want. Of the 100 or so left, then we kind of filter those down, and we're left with a very few, frankly. I mean, one of the issues that we have in the UAE is it's kind of a peripatetic audience. So there are people who will kind of come here and go somewhere else.
That's a big word, peripatetic.
I like that word.
I was like, I wasn't ready for that. I was like, whoa.
I thought I'd shock you with that.
Nailed me with that.
It's a Shakespeare word.
Is it?
No.
It didn't sound like it. Can you speak like Shakespeare? Can you recite any Shakespeare?
No, I haven't got time,
Come
I'm
on.
Afraid.
No? That would have been impressive.
It would have
been.
That would have been
good.
I can't.
I think you just need to kill someone or something, and that's like Shakespearean, no? They were kind of morbid, his plays, but genius, very good, I think. You just have to say that because it's not PC to say you didn't like it.
No.
Right? You have
All
to
that
be
he
like
didn't write it.
Oh, yes, that's also not very PC. But you just said that. It's very un-PC of you. So, Neil, thank you so much. We're coming up on the hour. What's your last piece of advice for anyone who wants to make it in your business?
I think the key thing, honestly, comes down to attitude. Again, I repeat that. It's about being interested and having the right attitude, and you want to get on with it, and you want to do the best job you can. And, a lot of people just give up. Once they have a little bit of a problem, they say, well, I'll go and do something else. And that's not really the kind of people we're looking for.
You got to have the grit to push through the grind.
You have.
The fire in your belly.
Exactly that.
Well, thank you so much, Neil. Hopefully we can have you on again sometime soon.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming out. That was Neil Wood, the publishing director for ITP Executive. Coming up, we have a man who does have a fire in his belly, a man who's pushed his way through, started his business in the financial crisis. a banker turned entrepreneur. We're going to hear a story how he went from a massive institution to sailing his own ship on the high seas. The story of Nigel Sillitoe, the chief executive officer of Insight Discovery, coming right up.
This is Eye on Careers. Share your stories by emailing eyeoncareers@arn.ae or text us on 4001. The